You're listening to a podcast by the Perennial Leader Project. To learn more, visit perennial.substack.com. About a year ago, I published a meditation titled Think Like a Mortal. It was part of the weekly Letters to a Young Seeker series on my Substack. In the meditation, I attempted to discuss what it means to live an intentional life and how realizing that we are dying every day, in the words of Seneca, helps us to live in the present and ultimately lead meaningful lives. So today, I'm going to revisit this letter and then reflect and expound on some of the paradoxes around this idea. Dear fellow traveler, it's interesting to think about how unique we all are, truly one of nearly 8 billion. Yet at the same time, we are the same. We are all mortals. For this reason, philosophical and spiritual traditions alike have spent significant time writing and contemplating on the topic of death. The maxim, "think as a mortal," is one of the 147 ancient sayings that were supposedly inscribed upon a stone monument at Delphi. The emphasis on mortality could seem grim for some of us today, but similar to other maxims like know thyself, for example, or this too shall pass, these pithy words of wisdom help us to understand and hopefully accept life's eternal truths. In this sense, the American philosopher Nick Bomarito, author of Seeing Clearly and previous podcast guests, writes, "It's a bit like when a therapist helps their patients work through unpleasant realities to better deal with them. As with the therapist, the point isn't to dwell on upsetting or traumatic stuff, but to face such facts responsibly, in the right way, and with the right mindset. Thinking like a mortal has much to do with remembering. The ancient practice of memento mori simply means that remembering death is inevitable. Some of the most straightforward Buddhist practices around death are simple reminders. In the Tibetan tradition, some will set their cup upside down before bed, acknowledging that they may die in their sleep and not need the cup anymore. Then, when they wake up in the morning, they'll turn it over again, lucky to get another day. Did you feel lucky when you woke up this morning? Do you have a similar practice that reminds you that it wasn't guaranteed?" One figure who faced death head-on was the 16th century philosopher Montaigne. As Montaigne put it, "All the wisdom and reasoning in the world boils down finally to this point: to teach us not to be afraid to die." In his book, The Socrates Express, Eric Weiner, another previous podcast guest, writes, "Montaigne was a skeptic, in the word's original meaning, not a naysayer who punctures the ideas of others for sport, but a doubter in search of truth." In one of Montaigne's essays titled, "To Philosophize is to Learn How to Die," he wrote, "We do not know where death awaits us, so let us wait for it everywhere. To practice death is to practice freedom. A man who has learned how to die has unlearned how to be a slave." Montaigne thought avoidance of death comes at too high a price, We can't live fully, he says, without facing death. Four words neatly summarize Montaigne's philosophy and way of life. What do I know? Strangely, death is a certainty. It is one of the few things Montaigne knew for sure. Yet, when death knocks, is uncertain. As Marcus Aurelius wrote to himself, you could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do, say, and think. The key word is could. Death can happen at any time. There's not even any certainty between this breath and the next. Meditating on our immortality and the uncertainty of life can be unsettling, but it's important to remember that we're not alone. Everyone around you is also mortal. Mortal creatures live lives dependent on each other, stressed Montaigne. Like runners in a relay, they pass on the torch of life. Farewell. One of the paradoxes around thinking like a mortal is understanding that limits or constraints are actually what makes life meaningful. In his book, Life is Short, Dean Rickles makes this point as follows. In all cases, there is an interplay between limit and possibility, but also with freedom. We think of limitations, especially death, as things that disrupt our freedom, precisely because they remove possibilities. Paradoxically, limit gives birth to freedom. The game of life must contain boundaries. And a good thing, too. While we are seemingly squeezed by our lack of unlimited possibilities, i.e., our short lives, an unlimited being is squeezed in other ways. It would simply not have any means to enjoy a meaningful existence as we do. It is an existence as boring as the game with no rules, in which there is nothing to act against and nothing to act for. Consider reflecting on that for a moment. Imagine playing a board game with your friends and family, except there are no rules, no actual end to the game. Or think about watching your favorite sporting event without time periods, rules, referees, etc. Another connected idea that is rather counterintuitive is that life only exists in the here and now. That's Seneca's point. We think death is in the future, but it's actually happening right now. And now. And now. Every moment we are alive, we are also simultaneously dying. In his book, Don't Forget to Live, Pierre Hadot writes that despite the profound difference between Stoic and Epicurean doctrines, one can discern, underlying the two doctrines, an important analogy in the experience of the present. It can be defined as follows. Epicureanism and Stoicism privilege the present over the past, and especially over the future. They made it a principle that happiness must be found in the present alone, that an instant of happiness is equivalent to an eternity of happiness, and that happiness can and must be found immediately, right now, at once. But it's important to ask ourselves, how do we embody this wisdom in daily life? Montaigne might respond with nothing by simply continuing to live. He said in one of his essays that, "I want us to be doing things, prolonging life's duties as much as we can. I want death to find me planting my cabbages, neither worrying about it nor the unfinished gardening." We each have to ask ourselves, what do we want death finding us doing? For Montaigne, it was planting his cabbages, not worrying. We all have to wrestle with these questions. We have to remember that our mortality, at least in this life, depending on your beliefs, can help us to keep on living. To quote Marcus Aurelius again, don't act as though you were going to live for 10,000 years. Fate is hanging over your head. While you live, while you can, be a good person. Thank you for listening to another episode of the In Search of Wisdom podcast. I hope you found something useful for daily life. If so, I encourage you to put what you heard into practice. If you're interested in more tools for the art of living, consider subscribing to Perennial Meditations on Substack. By becoming a member, you'll help support the project and gain access to our podcasts, meditations, and courses. Until next time, be wise and be well.